Thank you, Brother Ralph, and it's good to be with you once again and to be able to share in God's Word and in this special day as we welcome and install Pastor Terry and Jen Guger as your pastor here at The Rock. And as Ralph mentioned, my name is Jonathan, and I'm glad to be with you here and have my wife Lori with me. The Rock is part of the Christian Missionary Alliance, and our district is called the Rocky Mountain District. And our office is in Billings, Montana, because our district covers all of Montana and Wyoming, the mountain time zone of Idaho, and the western halves of North and South Dakota. So I know Paul's here. I saw Paul earlier, Brunig. And then there's another brother who at one time went from here all the way to Minot to help put windows in our church in Minot, which is in our district. I will tell you, in Minot, somehow the Rocky Mountain District doesn't really fit. If you think about that, just think about that a little bit, okay? North Dakota, pretty flat, okay? Just seeing if you're alive out there. All right, so our district covers a pretty big geographic area, and we have 57 churches in our district, and so thankful for the privilege to be able to serve in this role with you and to serve together with you. And I want to commend Ralph for his work and leadership in this time, and your leadership team. There's always new things that happen when a pastor leaves, and there's a time without a pastor, and then the new pastor comes, and your leadership team has done a great job navigating through this time. And so it's a special, special, special day, and we're thankful for what God is doing. And I appreciate, Greg, what you said earlier about kind of into this new chapter of things and the new way of things. And I thought what I wanted to do was, I'm not going to do it, so don't worry about this, but I was going to say, why don't you all stand up? And there's three sections, right? So stand up and move one section to the right. Because typically in church world, what do? We sit in the same place all the time, right? And so we get accustomed to things, and we do the same thing, and we sit in the same place, and then when change comes, we're like, oh! But you know what? Laurie and I, we're like in a different church every week. We don't sit in the same spot every week. We don't even sit in the same spot in that same church every week. And sometimes we can kind of get into the rut of just, well, you know, I go, I kind of figure out where I'm going to park, I walk in, I say hi, I sit down in the same spot, we have church, and then I go out. And then the next week I come in, and I sit in the same spot, and so on. But I decided against that. I didn't want to mess you up, because there'd be people like, well, where do we go? Well, you would come over here and figure out a spot over there, and we're not going to do that. But we know that the world is changing, right? And so are we, because we live in the world. We're not of the world, but we live in the world, don't we? And it's 2023. It's not 2017 or 18 anymore, right? How many, you know, the other day I was talking to somebody and they were saying, you know, just a few years ago, back in 1990. I was thinking, I thought about this last year too. I was like, we are closer to 2050 than we are to 1990. You know, think about that, right? We're only 27 years from 2050, and we're 33 years away from 1990. So again, things are changing, and I don't just mean, you know, culture in the world and, you know, blah, 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 all that stuff. But people have changed, right? We came today, and we were driving on, was it Morningstar or whatever it is out here? Lone Star, there we go. I was thinking about the Morning Star, the Brighton Morning Star, right? And so Lone Star. And I know there's a few churches over there, and there was a car going kind of slow, older car, a Buick. And so I'm watching it, and I'm like, okay, they're going to turn into this church, you know? And they didn't. They turned into like a soccer field or a football field or something out there. And there were tons of cars out there. And whether it was their grandkids or nieces and nephews or whatever, but something was going on the fields. 25 years ago, 20 years ago, Sunday morning would have been like a keep it for the Lord or keep it for the church or whatever, right? Today it's 7 days a week, all kinds of activities, all kinds of stuff, right? The world has changed. The world we live in has changed. The message of the gospel hasn't changed. But we have to be ready to deliver it in ways that people can hear it today. And so things have changed, right? As part of the Christian Missionary Alliance, in the U.S., I guess it's already up there, you can see, there are 25 different districts. So there's 24 other districts besides ours. And there's about 1,975 churches. And there's about 450,000 people that call the Christian Missionary Alliance home on a weekend. So that's kind of our family, if you will. But here's the cool thing. This weekend in the United States, the gospel will be preached in 40 different languages, just in the Christian Missionary Alliance, in our 1,975 churches. And about 38% of our churches are not white, non-Anglo. It's kind of fun, because we could say an awful lot about Terry and Jen. But one of the cool things is Terry's parents are pastors in the Alliance, and they actually pastor way over in Lambert, Montana, which is just almost to North Dakota. And they've pastored there for a few years, and before that they were in Ohio and Pennsylvania and other places. But they're there, okay? And then Terry and Jen's son is an Alliance pastor in Billings, Montana. First Alliance Church, he's the assistant pastor there. So think about this, friends. We have three generations, same last name, in the same district, at the same time. Yeah, I would say let's clap over that one. I've been in the Alliance all my life. I don't know if that's ever happened before where everyone was in the same district. There have been three generations before, but not necessarily in the same district at the same time. But here's the other part that's kind of cool. Terry's dad was an Alliance pastor in the Great Lakes District, and his mother was the district office secretary. So Nancy and I worked together for about 7.5 years, and she was in the district office for, I don't know, almost 20 or pretty close to that. And we had a wonderful time. And when we were in that district, we worked with Arabic and Chinese and English and Hmong and Spanish and Tamil and Vietnamese people. And there's 30 other nationalities, Cambodian, Lao, Korean, Vietnamese, on and on and on and on. And so that's a little bit of the family that you're a part of here at The Rock, here in the U.S. And then overseas, we have about 700 workers in 81 countries, and we support them through the Great Commission Fund. And you can see there's about 22,000 churches overseas. So the presence of the Alliance is much larger overseas than it is here in the U.S. And we have about 6 million people that attend on a weekend. And I can't say it because we're showing this online, but six nations are larger, the presence of the Christian Missionary Alliance, than here in the U.S. And 26 nations have now themselves sent out international workers. Because our international workers went into countries and learned the customs and the culture and the language and were able to embed themselves in the culture so that they could share Christ with people. And so that people could get saved. So that people could be built up and leaders could be trained and pastors could be raised up who could train up people to do the work of the ministry. And as that happened full circle, then they themselves started sending out international workers. And so in a world where Americans aren't wanted everywhere anymore, we have the opportunity for all kinds of other nationalities to go and to serve and to be able to teach and reach people for Christ. And again, that is part of the family that you're a part of. So I wanted you to hear that, because also, as you've been going through this time between pastors, there have been people literally around the world praying for you, asking that God would give you strength. Oftentimes we think, well, we need to pray for them, whoever them are. Sorry for the bad English, right? Whoever they might be. But they are praying for us. They are praying for you. Praying that the work of God would not shrink back here at The Rock. Praying that you would take new territory and share the good news of hope and healing and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Praying that you would have courage to move forward in new ways and fresh ways. Being willing to take faith-motivated risks for Christ. Isn't that amazing? I mean, oftentimes we kind of, our sights get kind of lowered down just to us. But friends, people around the world are praying for you and asking for God to do these things in you and through you. Well, as Greg said, this is a little bit different service in that it's kind of an installation time. A new pastor has come, and it's kind of good at the outset to kind of go, all right, let's focus our attention on what God would have for us in these things. A couple years ago, I was doing an installation service, and before the service, this little guy came up and he goes, so do you have a DeWalt? And I'm like, what? I didn't catch it at first. He goes, or do you use Milwaukee? And I'm like, you know, and then all of a sudden it clicked with me. I'm like, oh, what do you mean? He goes, well, aren't you going to install our pastor? And I'm like, well, you know, we don't like call Terry up here and put a nail in your hand and then stick you to the wall and do the other one, you know. But that's what he thought we were going to do, is we were going to like drill the pastor in to the church. And I'm like, no, that's not quite what we do, you know. And so we're not doing that, brother. Don't worry about that. And people, don't worry about that, you know, right? We don't have to have the shedding of blood here today because of that. We've already celebrated Christ's final sacrifice, right? So we don't have to do that. But it's interesting because we do want to do an installation service. And I'm going to lead us in prayer, and then we're going to dive into that. So Lord, thank you for this morning, as has already been said. Thank you, Lord, for this day of Palm Sunday, which Greg shared so well from in the Gospel of Mark. And Lord, thank you for the cup, which reminds us of your blood that was shed for us. Thank you, Lord, for the bread, which reminds us of your body, which was given for us. We ask, God, that as now we kind of think about that and we think about the future, we're mindful, Lord, that you have many things planned. The purposes of the Lord are eternal. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the purposes of the Lord are forever. And we thank you, Lord, that we can know in part who you are from your word. And we thank you, Lord, that you have chosen to reveal yourself to us, and it can come through creation, through others, through the word, through Christ, obviously, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask that right now as we center our attention upon your word. God, would you have freedom to speak to our minds and our hearts, to enable us, Lord, to hear from you, but beyond that, Lord, not just be hearers only, but doers of your word, appliers of your word. God, we have a lot of information, and some of us really enjoy all kinds of information, but God, help us to be good applicators of that information. Appliers of your word, of the information you give us, of the wisdom that you give us. Father, help us in this, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so there's three things I want to share with you, friends, real quick. Three things as we think about this time of installation, of having a new pastor, all right? They're not the only three things that could be shared, but they're very important ones. And the first one is found in the book of Hebrews, where the writer of Hebrews, in the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 18, he closes out the book by saying, pray for us. Pray for us. And if the author of Hebrews needed prayer in the first century, how much more do we need to pray for one another in the 21st century? And I would encourage you to pray for Pastor Terry and Jennifer and their family. Pray for their family. You know, we were having a good dinner last night, and we were talking about a number of different things, and one of the things that's interesting for Pastor Terry and Jen now is moving here is moving without children. And the first time that happened to us when we moved was from Michigan, where I was serving in the district office there, and all of our kids had graduated from high school there, and then we moved to Wisconsin and worked in that district office. And it was really wild because we moved into this new place, and we didn't know the rivalries. We didn't know which high schools disliked other high schools. We didn't know the teams. We didn't know the players. We didn't know the people. And we didn't have really an in to get there. And so we had to learn from others. And it was great, but our family was elsewhere. Now, how many of you have children or grandchildren? Anybody? How many of you don't care about them? Okay. How many of you would say they're a pretty big part of your life, no matter where they are and what age they are? Right? Most of us would say that, right? And so as you think about Pastor Terry and Jen coming here, pray for their family. Get to know the kids' names. Get to know where they are. Because that's a big part of their life, still, and will be. And so I encourage you to pray for their family. Pray for their kids. Pray that their kids would continue to make God-honoring choices as they continue to live, now as adults. Pray that they might bring joy into their lives. Pray for those children who are adults. And then pray also for their marriage relationship. You know, I will tell you, some of the highest highs can be found in ministry. A number of you have been in ministry in the States here or overseas. And you know what? There are things that happen in ministry that are hard to explain. A few weeks ago, we were in Havre, Montana, about 15, 20 miles from Canada. And at the close of the service, the pastor comes up to me and he says, "This is Bob, and he wants to get saved." And he walks away. "Hi, Bob." And years ago, this church was planted, right? In 2000, what year? 2005? 2002. When this was a church plant, usually in church plants, we have what we call church planter assessment. And at church planter assessment, we take these people, the couples that want to be church planters, and we run them through a battery of things and all kinds of stuff. And one of the things we do is we sit them down, men with men, ladies with ladies, and we'll say, "Okay, here's the scenario. You've been witnessing to this guy for 3.5 months. Okay, this is a pastor. This is a guy who wants to plant a church, who wants to see people come to faith in Christ, okay? And we say, "All right, you've been witnessing this guy for 3.5 months, and he comes to you and he says, 'Hey, man, I want what you have. I want to get whatever you have.'" And we say, "Go!" Because you don't go, "Oh, well, that's really cool. Well, you know, back in Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth." No, it's like, "Here's the need, here's the deal, go." So this guy comes forward, and it wasn't an altar call, but he was just convicted as the service went along. And I had my friend who I used to do this with, and on my shoulder. And this guy goes, "Hey man, I want to get saved." And all of a sudden I heard my friend Eric say, "Go!" So like 3.5, 4 minutes later, this guy is ready to come to faith in Christ. He was ready to pray, ready to, it was genuine. Friends, I don't know about you. I don't know when the last time was you ever led anybody to Christ, all right? I was just a harvester. I didn't, you know, sow the ground. I didn't break the ground. I didn't plant the seed. I didn't cultivate it. I just happened to be the one there at that moment. It was the Holy Spirit who led him. It was Christ who saved him. But I got to just have a small part in that. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing greater than that. It's great joy. And there are great joys in ministry. But friends, there are some lousy lows in ministry as well. Lori and I have had a lot of time to drive around in our district. We put on 60, 70,000 miles a year. And sometimes we go down memory lane. And I was thinking back recently of one church we served in. We served in two churches. We loved it. We loved our churches. We loved our people. And I was thinking back to one couple where it was, they were just so divided and so, it was so difficult. And I must admit, I thought, this isn't going to make it. And they reconciled. And they came back together. And they're still, you know, he's passed away since, but they were able to bridge gulfs that I thought would never happen. And then there were other couples where it was like that's it? That's it? And you're splitting up over that? And surely, you know, and it would just break my heart. And then there's people who die young, who die horrible deaths. And yet, if they know Christ, we're happy they're with the Lord. But what about us who remain? There's incredible lows in ministry. Friends, I encourage you, pray for Pastor Terry and Jen. Pray for their family. Pray for their marriage relationship. Pray that God would surround them with protection and that He would continue to lead them. And if you're not praying now, start today. And don't tell yourself, well, it's the leadership of the church's role. That's not my role. Friend, it's your role. Do you want your pastor to be praying for you? Yes, that would be the answer. Yes. Then I encourage you to be praying for him. Pray for Pastor Terry as your shepherd. Pray that God's word would continue to come alive to him in a fresh way. Pray that God would give Pastor Terry wisdom and discernment and direction as he leads the ministry here with your leaders here in Nampa. And then pray for yourselves that you would come prepared to meet the Lord. You know, it's interesting to me, when I was a little kid, a number of years ago, Saturday night wasn't like play night and stay out as late as we can and then maybe hopefully wake up in time to go to church. Saturday night was the night to kind of settle down, wind down, prepare myself, prepare ourselves so that when we went to church, we would be in a right frame of mind to hear what God had to say. Isn't it amazing how many distractions we can have today? I mean, one of them is right here, right? We can get distracted. This is a great tool, and it's a lousy tether. And sometimes it can be a master, or we just get buried on it, right? I mean, I find myself sometimes doing that, and Lori will say something to me. I'll say, what was that? Not just because I'm a husband, but because I have one of these, right? All right, you know, but like, what was that? What did you say? I'm sorry, could you say that again? I couldn't hear you. Well, sometimes it's not because I didn't hear, but I was distracted. And sometimes, I don't need a show of hands, but I think in our world today, how many times do we come to church and it's like, man, I'm finally able to sit down. Well, I got like an hour here. Or if this guy's too long, an hour and a half. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, it's like, oh, I finally can just relax. You know, I can take a breath. Like, my phone literally went off when we were having communion. It can happen, right? It's just like, how do we settle down to where we're able to hear? So pray for yourselves that you might come prepared to hear what God has to say. Because your pastor can pray and prepare and plan and practice, and I don't know whatever other P's there are, but he can do all those things. But we know that communication is a two-way street, isn't it? Are we ready to hear what God has for us? Pray for your pastor. Pray for Jennifer. Pray for their family, for their ministry. Pray for yourselves that you would hear from the Lord. And then pray for this community. There are so many ways that can be utilized to reach people for Christ. And over the 21-year period of this church, that has been a hallmark of this ministry, right? Reaching people for Christ. Amen. And then seeing people grow up to maturity in Him. You don't have to like be like, oh, Lord, help us to do this. You could pray, oh, Lord, help us to recover what we once did. Amen. Help us to be what you want us to be. We have been, we are, and we desire to be that, Lord. And we ask for you to give us wisdom. Help us to reach our community. Is your pastor going to reach the 100,000 people here in Nampa? No. There are other great Bible-teaching, Bible-believing churches. In the Alliance, we don't say, this is the only one. There are other great churches that are able to do this as well. But let us not shrink back at the rock from doing this. And if we need to recover that, if we need to recapture that, then pray that God would accomplish that in your hearts, in your minds, as you seek to pray for this ministry here. Pray for the right things. Is it against God's heart to reach the lost? No! Why did Jesus come? to give his life as a ransom for many, right? To seek and to save the lost. And that's what he wants us to be. You know, one of the things I love going to churches on weekends and different ones is when people have family home. You know, like we have three kids and, you know, one looks like me, one looks like Lori, one looks like, well, hopefully both of us, right? No, just kidding, you know. And it's kind of funny because people that know me, they're like, man, your son, he's an ordained Alliance pastor. Man, if he doesn't look just like you. And then there's people that know Lori and they're like, man, if Mark doesn't look like your dad. Well, he came from us, so he should look like us, right? And so it stands to reason that if we are the children of God, would we not act and think and be like him? And what did Jesus say? We just said it. I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. So let us be engaged in that. Pray for yourselves. Pray for Pastor Terry and Jen and their family. Pray for these things. And then provide for them. Now, I know, you know, it's like, oh, here comes the money talk. I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. You folks have a history of providing for your pastor. So this isn't a talk like, okay, you better provide, step up and provide finances for your pastor. But it is saying in God's word in 1 Timothy 5 that the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. So I encourage you to continue to provide in that way for your pastor. It involves finances, but it involves so much more. So much more. One way that you can show provision for your pastor is to believe the best about him first. I know this would never happen here at The Rock, but if somebody ever comes to you and says, I just have to share something. I just have to get this off my chest. Did you know? And then all of a sudden your antennas are up like, okay, here it comes. Here we go. Maybe you need to give your pastor the best 8-word gift you can give him by looking at that person and saying to them, have you talked to Pastor Terry about this? And after they get up off the floor, you can pick them up and say the next best 4 words. I'll go with you. Believe the best about your pastor. You know, the enemy, we always, remember years ago there was this thing, was a Bill Bright, you know, God has a wonderful plan for your life. And people like embraced it for a while, and then people started making jokes about it. Oh, God has a wonderful plan for my life? Now the joke did not negate the truth. But friends, here's another truth. Satan has a horrible plan for your life. And he has a horrible plan for The Rock. And wittingly or unwittingly, sometimes you and I can be used to further his plan. And it happens when we start moving out of what God and his spirit want into doing what our flesh wants to do and what the enemy of our souls wants to lead us into. So provide for your pastor. Believe the best about him. And the third thought for you, my friends, today is this. Give your pastor freedom. Give your pastor freedom, okay? One way you can do this is to come alongside him and encourage him, but also come alongside his strengths and pour gas on his strengths, all right? All right? Just do that, right? But you can also come alongside him in his areas of non-strengths. Not to be like, man, you really stink at this, so I'm here to help you, you know. But to be like, you know what? I recognize that, you know, there isn't anybody that has all the gifts. There isn't anybody that has all the abilities. We all have strengths and non-strengths. I'm thankful for a great team in the Rocky Mountain District Office. We have a phenomenal team. Where we have people who, there's 4 of us now, and we have people who complement each other's strengths, but also come alongside the areas of non-strength. And I encourage you to do that. Because as you allow Pastor Terry to serve in those areas of his strengths, as he is wired, you're going to help Pastor Terry be the best Pastor Terry can be. How many more times can I say that in one sentence? Right? Your pastor's going to exercise servant leadership here in Nampa. And I would encourage you to exercise servant followership, right? I tell my guys all the time, if you want to be a good leader, you better be a good follower. Okay? It's shared leadership. Think about it. How many of you have ever said this in your life? It doesn't matter the context. You know, it would just be a lot easier if I did it myself. Anybody ever say that? Anybody ever say that didn't raise their hand? Most of us have said that, right? Think about the church. Think about the church. Jesus died, rose again the third day, instituted the church, said, go and be my witnesses, right? Around the world, everywhere. You're to be my ambassadors. You are plan A, and there is no plan B. And think about this. Do you ever think God could say, man, you know, I could have just done it myself? But he chooses to use us. And he happily, willingly chooses to use us. Friends, I encourage you. Allow your pastor to lead. Be good followers. Be good leaders. Because he wants to be that. And for us to reach this world, we have to come together in this, right? He's going to be asking, Lord, where are you leading us? How can we best reach the harvest field here in Nampa and the surrounding area around us? What is it, Lord, that you really want us to be about? You know, there's a lot of good things that we could do, aren't there? But what are the best things? What are the most important things? You know, you think about it. If you really stop and think about it, the church could devolve into just a wonderful service organization, just like other ones. We pastored in a town one time, and I went into this one place, and this guy goes, oh, you're with the Lions Club, right? You're the ones that do the glasses for people, right? And there was a blue and white box, the Lions Club, and it could put your glasses in there. And he thought I was the leader of the Lions Club. And the guy behind the counter laughed. He goes, huh, dude, he's pastor of the Alliance Church. But it was a striking reminder. We can devolve into just being a service club if we want. That's the natural trajectory. And the enemy of the church wants that to happen. But God wants us to follow him and to serve him. And friends, what's so cool is you've done that throughout your history. This isn't like some foreign thing where you're like, oh, come on, you know, we never heard this before. This is stunning. No, it's like we've been doing this, Jonathan. Move on. Well, let me tell you, the natural trajectory is to devolve. The supernatural trajectory is to move toward Christ in these things. And we need a new awakening in our hearts and souls, each of us, to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. So pray. Pray for Pastor Terry. Pray for Jen in these things. Give them freedom to make new friends. Maybe some of you have been friends of pastors in the past. Maybe that happens again. Maybe it doesn't. Give them freedom to make friends. And also give them freedom to relax. I think you've done a great job of that. I haven't seen that being a problem. I know some churches where they just are like, nope, nope, nope. But you've had a good history of giving your pastor time off to relax. And I just encourage you to do that again. So again, Hebrews 13 tells us this. It's something that's kind of hard for us to hear. I mean, you think about it. Hear these words in our climate of today. The author of Hebrews, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says this. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. Oh, now he's meddling. Like, we don't like this one, right? Notice how it got kind of quiet in here? All right. He says, they keep watch over you
as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit, no advantage to you. That's a scary verse for leaders, church leaders especially, because it says what? Tells the people, obey your leaders, submit to their authority. But why? Because they keep watch over you as men who must give an account. So brother, you're going to have to give an account for the ministry of the Rock under your care. Not everything, because you don't do everything. You're here to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. But you're going to have to give an account. And friend, if you're in leadership here at the Rock, or you have been, you're going to have to give an account for your time of leadership as well. And then he says what? They keep watch of you, so obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. That would be of no advantage for you. So pray for these things and provide for these things. You know, to me, I don't think that, like I said, this isn't something where we're like stretching you. You've already been doing this. Stay with it. Stick with it. Continue doing it. Do it in such a way that God will continue to bring blessing and to bring new people to faith in Christ and to help you to continue to take steps of growth in Him. All right, well, enough for you all. You're like, oh, good, move on to him. Please, hurry up, right? And you know, I always love it when they make me speak just before dinner, you know, because I like dinner. No, just kidding. All right. So, brother, I have some things for you, and we all get to hear it, all right? So I would encourage you, instead of Hebrews 13, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And again, here, this is a passage of Scripture where it might seem like, well, no, duh, you're going to go there. I mean, you are a pastor, and you're the district superintendent, and so on. But look at what it says here, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And again, I would just start out by saying, have you ever been on a roll where, like, years ago when we used to write letters or cards, and then we typed emails, and now it's texting? Has your mind ever gone faster than your fingers can type or text or write? Have you ever just been like on a roll? Anybody ever had that happen? I think Paul is on a roll when he starts 2 Timothy, what we call 2 Timothy chapter 4. Because he says this. He says, in the presence of God. So that's starting out pretty good, isn't it? And Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in the kingdom, I give you this charge. So he isn't like just saying, hey, bud, I got a thought for you. Right? He's like, he's calling it out, right? The presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. He says, preach the word. Preach the word. You know, it's so easy to get off on other stuff, isn't it? Oh, there's this great book over here. Well, there's like 66 good ones right here. Right? And this stuff over here can help us. Maybe it'll help us understand stuff and learn some things. And maybe give us fresh and new perspectives. But we need to preach the word, don't we? The world doesn't need more books over here. The world needs more of the word in Christ Jesus, people, and lived out. He says, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. That's challenging, isn't it? That's basically saying all the time, like everywhere you go, be prepared. Sometimes that's hard, right? Much like a doctor or a nurse where, you know, maybe they're off work and all of a sudden there's an accident. And what do people say? Is there a doctor? Is there a nurse? Right? Bam, they have to come and be ready. Well, he tells us, be prepared. And then look at the next one. Correct, rebuke, and encourage. How many of us like to go to work and every Monday be like, you know what? I'm so excited. Tomorrow I'm going to go get corrected again. 8:30, my boss is going to stroll in and rebuke me. And it's You should just be there. It's so good. It's just, there's nothing like it. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how she does it. But she rebukes me every week. Oh, it's great. No, he says here, correct, rebuke, and encourage. How do we do it, brother? With great patience and careful instruction. You know what? I am thankful for the people in my life who have corrected me with great patience and careful instruction. I'm thankful for the people who've rebuked me with great patience and careful instruction. I remember them, not like, oh man, you remember? Right? But in a way where it was like life-giving and meaningful and a defining moment. I have a brother who did that to me, literal brother. I said something, I was kind of blah, 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 and he looked at me and he grabbed me by the shirt. And in love, he rebuked me. And I knew it was in love, and it changed the direction of my life. I'm so thankful for that. I won't go into it, but it was life-defining. He says, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience, careful instruction. Why? Friends, if you ever get tired of the Word of God, ask the question, why? Because, friends, God gives us the why. Do you ever hate it when someone says, don't do that? Then they walk away. You're like, if you're a little kid, it's like, well, why? How many parents like to hear, why? Right? If it's 2 years old, you're okay with it. But like, get over it by the time you're three, right? But why? God gives us the why in the Scripture. And he says here, why? Because the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, they will gather around themselves a great number of teachers to suit their own desires, to hear what their itching ears want to hear. And they'll turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. And then he says again, and he's superlative, man, why does he do this? Keep your head in most situations. No. He says, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Right? What did Jesus say? In this world, to everybody, in this world, you will have trouble. But what? Be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. So as we walk from this day, if we're all alive here next Sunday, on Easter Sunday, remember, if Christ hasn't come or taken us home, next Sunday, remember what Jesus said. In this world, you will have trouble. He did. But be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. And he says here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, keep your head in every situation. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. I'm going to warn you, this is going to get scary here. How many of us would say, I don't have the gift of evangelism? You don't have to raise your hand. I would tell you, I don't have the gift of evangelism. But I don't have the gift of mercy either. And I don't get to be a jerk. Right? We don't just walk around and say, he's a jerk, but he doesn't have the gift of mercy. It's okay. Right? And sometimes we read the Bible like this and we go, do the work of an evangelist. Well, I don't have the gift of evangelism, so sorry. We don't get a pass. We need to be ready. If God brings it about where someone is ready to get saved, we need to be ready. We don't just say, well, it's not my gift, sorry. And obviously, we can't do that either, brother. We have to be ready. Paul lays it out here. And then he says, the time will come. We don't have a lot of time left, but take a look, if you would, at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Because if you just go back one chapter, this sounds like, remember those old TV shows, Law and Order? It was like ripped from the headlines, Look at this. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. Does that sound like today? Boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. I mean, that sounds like today, doesn't it? That was another time where Paul's on a roll. He's just whipping it off, laying it out there. That sounds like today. But you know what, friends? That sounds like the first century also. When he wrote this, the people weren't like, wow, that's going to be bad for whoever has to live under that. That sounded like the first century. And here we are, 20 centuries later. How much closer is the return of the Lord? So friends, I encourage you, brother, I remind us, let's be prepared. Let's be prepared. Let us not turn to godless myths. Let us not get off even a little bit, because over a time period, a little bit can really get us off, can't it? Endure hardship. And then, brother, one more thing I would just tell you is Proverbs 4:23. Solomon says this again under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Guard your heart. You know, years ago they used to say, if you want to know what we really value, look at your calendar and look at your checkbook, right? If you really want to know how you're doing with the Lord, think about what is it that my mind runs to when I have a few free minutes. Now, it doesn't mean everything is bad except the Lord. But do we even think about the Lord when we have a few free minutes? You know, I'll be honest, I like Facebook for about three reasons. I have some friends that I like to keep up with through the years. I grew up in Detroit, I love cars. Poor Lori, I'll be looking on Facebook and she'll hear me go, oh, whoa, look at that. She'll be like, what is it? I'm like, oh, it's a 66 Chevy Impala SS. You know, I told her when I got married, my problem is steel and fiberglass, all right? And so I like it for that. But I also like it for one other thing. I have some good friends who are always putting up some really cool things about God on Facebook. So it can be a lousy medium or it can be a good medium. But what is it that our minds run to when we have a few free minutes? Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Brother, may these things be the touch points for you as you and Jennifer move forward in this new day, in this new season of ministry, where stuff that has happened to you and that you've seen happen all come together for such a time as this. And then God has a bunch of new stuff that he wants to do through you, in you, and even to you to continue conforming you to the image of his Son. Well, brother, I'm going to invite you to come and share a couple words, and then we're going to have a time of prayer with the board members of the church, and a closing worship song, and the benediction. So no pressure.
Well, the good news is they already know that I preach long, because when I candidated, so that was a positive thing. Jonathan said I should keep it short, 5 minutes or less. I can actually see the clock, so I will try. Thank you for the challenge. For Jonathan, this has been a long time in coming. As he mentioned, our families, our friends, my parents in particular, and he and Lori, and so this has been a journey, and it's been great to reflect over the past couple of days of the pieces of the process that we're here at the Rock. Because a year ago, the Rock wasn't on our radar. A year ago, you searching for a new pastor wasn't on your radar. And think of all the things that have transpired in that year that have brought us to this place. 20 years ago, Idaho wasn't on our radar. We were back in Buffalo, New York, under 6 feet of snow or something like that. But the way God works and moves and puts the pieces into place is a great reminder for us of who's really in control of this whole thing. I accept this call as your shepherd because of the shepherd. Yeah. I join with the elders and the leadership of this church as under shepherds to care for the flock. I'm not here to, I don't have an agenda other than the agenda of Jesus Christ. And together, we see what God wants to do and where he wants to take us. And the passage that has just rolled over and over and over in my mind as I've thought about this morning, and yes, even while Jonathan was speaking, not that I wasn't paying attention, is Acts chapter 1. And in particular, see if I can read it here. Verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jennifer and I have shared a couple times, and at one point in time in the past couple of weeks, it just struck me. Moving out of the Pacific Northwest District, and I'm not going to do any district comparisons. We're going to keep it safe here. But moving out of that, Jennifer and I were on the edge of the district on the east side. We are the furthest east church. And we come into the Rock, and at this moment in time, we are the furthest west church in the district. And I think there's actually, I believe that God does symbolism for reasons, and I believe this is symbolic, and Jennifer and I have joked about this with each other, and I've joked with a couple of the leaders about this over the past month and a half, 2 months. I think God keeps Jennifer and I on the edge. And the question will become, is the Rock ready for us? Is the Rock ready for us? Please understand, I commit to be prepared and I will preach the word. I don't go on the edge when it comes to God. But you know, as culture changes, as society changes, as life changes, the modes and the mediums of preaching the gospel, of reaching the lost, of discipling must change. And for that, I'll go on the edge. I don't know what that looks like, but we'll go on the edge together. But when you receive power, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, see, I'm already at like 4.5 minutes. If we are part of the body of Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. Yes? Amen? Amen. But there's an empowerment that God also provides through the Holy Spirit. And when we receive that empowerment, the result can often be great celebration and worship and all that kind of stuff, but often the result of the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon us is to be the witnesses of Jesus Christ. And you know, we often look at and we talk about missions and going around the world. And as we looked at the possibility of coming to the Rock and to Nampa, one of the things that excites me, I believe excites us, is that God is bringing the ends of the earth here. We don't have to go out. The Hispanic population that is in this area, the Ukrainian immigration that is taking place, the ends of the earth are coming to Nampa and to Boise, and God has placed a rock to allow the gospel to be spread. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that. We get to practice being missionaries right next door. Now, Missions trips are awesome. Randy, I'm glad that you guys have a crew going. We will continue to make that happen. But I also want us to begin thinking. What Scripture talks about is not just sending people out elsewhere. Scripture talks about sending people right next door, loving our neighbors. So I hope that by the grace of God, I will push us. I hope that I will make us uncomfortable, only to know God more. I try not to make people uncomfortable just for the sake of making people uncomfortable. But I will do my efforts, and I ask you to do yours to help me guard my heart. Is this something Terry wants to do or something God wants to do? I will guard my heart. I will be prepared. I don't like the out-of-season thing so much. Wish I could talk to God a little bit more about that one, but in season and out of season, and I trust that not if, there will be times that correction and rebuke has to take place, that we will journey in grace together, in patience and encouragement. We'll lift one another up. Our promise to you is to love you with all that we have, with all that God's given to us. We're excited. We are confident that God has put this together, and we're here to go. We're here to move. So, not out, but move. And only God knows how long that chapter is, right? We're here. Jennifer and I have always said we move to a place, and if God has us here the remainder of our life, we will hear the remainder of our lives, but only God controls the length of the chapter. So,
amen. All right. So I'm going to invite Jennifer up and Terry, and we're going to have you sit here, and then I'm going to invite the board and elders to come, and I'm going to invite you all to stand, and
one thing to say. So we're going to see Terry a lot up front, but we're not going to see Jennifer up front so much. But as a representative of the governing board, we want to say welcome. We're glad you're here. And we have a presentation for Jennifer from all the wives of the elder board. Christy's representing the wives. We want to bless you. And I just want to say, both of these messages are the hearts of the governing board and the elder board. And we want to say yes. And we can't say, I don't want to be like, yes, we're going to do that. No, we're going to say it like this, because in the power that the Lord gives us, we're going to do that. Our hearts are there. Our hearts are with you. And we want to be on the cutting edge, as God enables us. And so we're going to be praying. And here's the image I got as you're talking is, you guys all remember the story of Exodus. And there was Moses, and they had this battle. And he's supposed to hold up his hands. And it was an all-day battle, and he was kind of like drooping. And Aaron and Hur came along. And it's kind of a funny scene, because you think God could have done it a different way. But he did it that way because they needed to participate together, holding up the hands of Moses. And that's the way we look at it as the elder board, holding up the hands of Terry, Jennifer. Bless you, and we're glad you're here.
Okay, why don't you guys have a seat here, and Lori, if you'd come. And we just invite you to, if you're comfortable, stretch out an arm or a hand, and whoever would like to lead in prayer, feel free to do so from the leadership team. And Lori's going to pray, and I'm going to close us in prayer. So,
Lord, we come knowing that we are frail, that we need you, and yet we want to say a big yes to what you're doing here in the rock. You have been doing, and we really desire for you to continue to do. And we thank you that you brought this couple to come with along with us and participate. And go forward with us in this. So we just bless them. We bless what you've done. We see your hand at work that you've called them. You've answered our prayers, Lord. We prayed that you would bring us someone who would walk with us. And now you've brought them. And now we anticipate, Lord, what you're going to do. And we want to say yes to you. We want to say, come, Lord Jesus, work in our midst. Use us for your purposes, for your glory. And we want to be good disciples, Lord. So we give you thanks for this couple in Jesus' name.
Father, we just we recognize that this is not the end of a 7.5-month journey. It is really the beginning of something new. And Father, we the word anticipate has been used many times already this morning. And God, I just know that we can't even imagine what's going to happen. We just have to trust that you're going to be able to do far more abundantly than we can ever ask and think. Not only through Pastor Terry and Jennifer, but Father, through everything that this church does under his leadership, under your leadership, as he said. So Father, we just thank you for their presence here. We thank you for the love they have already demonstrated to us. And Lord, as they promised they would do, Father, we've seen that in action already. So Father, just as Jonathan said, may we all be able to actively look for ways to bless them as well as they bless us. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I thank you specifically for Jen and how you have raised her and called her into this position of pastor's wife. And as she and Terry are together serving you, I pray that you would especially meet her needs in this move, this transition. It is difficult that first time without children. And as your house is different, as you, it's the two of you again, just like you started. And I pray that you would guide her through this time as she makes friends, as she figures out her ministries here at The Rock. Lord, I pray that you would go before her and thank you that you are working and moving in her life and in the lives of her family. And so we just pray that you'd bless them.
So, Lord, we set apart to you again, Terry and Jen. We ask, God, that you would undertake for them, help them, Lord, as has already been prayed, as they begin getting acclimated here to Nampa and the surrounding area. Lord, with new doctors and new dentists and all the other things that happen when we move, but also, Lord, with new people, new relationships, new friendships, new engagements, Lord, that might be different from their past experiences and others that are very familiar. And Lord, as you have used them in the past, we pray, God, that you would continue to use them now and into the future until you hold back, until you come back again, Lord. We ask, God, that you would stir up the gifts in their hearts and minds and their bodies and their lives for what is needed now in 2023 and the times ahead. We ask, God, that you would give them minds that are sharp and keen for you, and that, Father, you would give them wisdom in knowing what to do and when and how. And Lord, we pray that you'd give Terry wisdom in working with the leadership team here, and we thank you, Lord, for these brothers and sisters who have said yes to leadership, who have carved out time and energy and prayer time and willingness of heart to engage in what you want to accomplish through this ministry here at The Rock. I pray, God, that you would meld their hearts together and their souls together in such a sweet communion that, Lord, each meeting would be something to look forward to rather than, I got to go to that again tonight. God, I pray that you would just be with this leadership team. Have your way in this, Lord, we pray. We ask, too, God, that you would just continue to give The Rock favor in this area of Idaho, in Nampa and the surrounding area, for the sake of the cause of Christ, for the salvation of many, for the growth in many.
Lord, again, as we said earlier, we know there are other great Bible teaching and preaching churches in this valley, and we pray blessing on them, but we also pray blessing here upon the rock, that, Lord, you would use this body of believers, not to build up the name of a church or a pastor or a denomination, but, Lord, to build up the name of Christ, to bring glory, Lord, to you in fresh and exciting ways with new souls who've come to faith in Christ, who have been set free from the power of sin, who are set on the road to heaven rather than to the place of hell. God, we ask that you would accomplish these things, Lord, for your glory. You can just say it, you can just do it. But Lord, as we said earlier, you've chosen to use us, your children, to do it. So help us, Father, to be faithful in that. Have your way, Lord, we pray. We thank you and we dedicate Terry and Jen to you and this leadership team and this congregation to this new season of life and ministry. In Jesus' precious and holy and returning name, amen. Amen. Amen.